Welcome, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in to The Rebound, our second episode here. I'm your host, Elijah Cooper, along with my co-host, James Jordan. How you doing today, James?
I'm doing all right. What's going on? Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Friday.
Yeah, definitely happy Friday to everybody. Hope a lot of y'all got paid this week. We just want to thank everybody that tuned in to the first episode. Today, we're going to get into some college talk. Talk about the top teams in the country. Is Memphis basketball back? We're going to talk about Cole Anthony already winning ACC Freshman of the Year for the preseason, and also get into some WNBA talk with the Mystics winning the championship last night, and then also get into your topics from Twitter and let you know who won the raffle that we had on Twitter as well. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe to us. We're on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. We're still waiting to hear back from Apple Podcasts, so stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter for any updates at The Rebound Pod. So the first thing we want to really get into today is talking about Memphis basketball. They are led by the number one recruiting class in the country, led by number one recruit James Wiseman. Also brought in Boogie Ellis. James, my question to you, is Memphis basketball back?
I mean, honestly, it's going to take more than, just a couple kids coming in. I mean, obviously, we've seen what Zion can do coming out of high school, but it's all about that chemistry. College basketball is all about teamwork, playing hard defense, rotating, and, just playing team basketball. I mean, obviously, they got one of the top recruitment classes. It's coached by Penny Hardaway, but we're going to see what they're going to be able to do. I believe they can get it done. I believe they can show up and get to the dance again. But it's going to, it's a hard question to ask right now. It's still the beginning, but I believe they can do it. So we're going to see what they're going to do.
I agree with you, man. You're talking about a lot of young players trying to make an impact. They do get the benefit of not being in one of the tougher conferences, like the ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12, those kind of big major conferences. But they have the number one player in the country in James Wiseman, who's a 7-foot big man who can do it all. Boogie Ellis was a big recruit from them, a guy who decommitted from Duke, ended up going to Memphis. I like what Penny Hardaway is building, man. I agree with you. I think it might take a little bit of time because, like you said, college basketball is all about chemistry. And as we've seen in the past, experience normally wins in tournament time. So it's going to be interesting to see how quickly Memphis's young core can gel. But I think Penny Hardaway being in Memphis is a big recruiting draw. And I think, them already, early on in his tenure there, getting the number one recruiting class. In the long term, Memphis basketball will be back. Not sure if they're Final Four bound or national championship ready, kind of like they were in the Derrick Rose era or the John Calipari era. But I do think Memphis basketball is back. So we'll see what they, bring to the table. And it's going to be very interesting to see James Wiseman on the national stage, number one recruit and possible number one draft pick. All right, so to transition into our next topic, let's talk about my North Carolina Tar Heels. For those of you that don't know, big Tar Heel fan. James, unfortunately, is a Maryland fan, so our condolences out to him.
they can never get it done, man. Just go ahead with UNC, man. Go ahead.
So the Tar Heels really have one of the most coveted freshmen in this class that came in, and Cole Anthony. He was voted preseason rookie of the year for the ACC already. And anyone who has seen Cole Anthony play knows this guy flat out oozes talent. He's a freak athlete, super skilled, excellent passer out of Oak Hill. The kid is a stud. He's the son of Greg Anthony, former Knicks point guard and former New York basketball great. James, what do you think about Cole Anthony? You think it's a little early to give him that ACC preseason Rory crown, or you think the voters got it right here?
It's always a tough question, but honestly, based off of what I see in the competition, why not pick Cole Anthony? Mm-hmm. Just like you stated, the son of Greg Anthony, point guard for the New York Knicks. And then also, I just like what I seen from the McDonald's All-American game. He played against Tyrese Maxey, another top 10 pick. He also played with Isaiah Stewart, which also balled all. I mean, he went all in. I believe he went 8 from 11, and Cole Anthony went from 7 from 11 from the field. But I honestly think he can get it done. You know, he's going to pull away with Rookie of the Year in the ACC. I don't see much competition in there. And I honestly, he's just going to pull away with this thing. Eventually, down the road, we're going to see what he's made of.
I agree. I think Cole Anthony, with the talent that he has, I think the voters got this one right. I'm trying not to be too biased. I know Duke had an excellent recruiting class. They got some real good talent that they brought in this year. But I think Cole Anthony is a top three pick in this upcoming draft. Could go as high as one. And if you know anything about the Tar Heels and about Rory Williams' system, it is bred for point guards to succeed. From all the way back, Raymond Felton, Ty Lawson, you know, that era. Then you had Marcus Paige, who was very good for North Carolina. You know, Joel Berry as well. You know, and then even last year, Kobe White excelled. So, you know, North Carolina does a great job. Their system is built for up-tempo play, which is something that Cole Anthony is used to and something he'll flourish in because of his athleticism. I think he made a great choice coming to North Carolina, and I think he'll be rewarded with an excellent freshman season. So just to rant a little bit about my Tar Heels and their upcoming season, you know, a lot of key players lost. We lost Cam Johnson, Luke May to graduation, Kobe White, Nazir Little, four major guys from that Tar Heel team that are all playing at the next level. North Carolina did return a lot of experienced guys. You got Gareth Brooks. You know, guys of that nature coming back who will bring experience, but they weren't guys who North Carolina heavily relied on. They still, you know, were, those guys were really role players, even though they were part of, you know, or they, even though they have experience. So for me, the key is Cole Anthony's going to have to flat out be a star. Also, a five-star center, Armando Bacot, is going to have to be a key piece for them this year. It's going to be interesting to see. They had a couple of good graduate transfers that came in, so it's going to be interesting to see how the Tar Heels adapt with really a lot of new faces, and they're going to be relying on some new players that they didn't have to rely on last year. So, James, you think this team, with how they're currently constructed, can compete with Duke also and the defending national champions, Virginia, in the ACC?
Okay, so we already know who Duke lost. They lost Zion and RJ and Cam Reddish. Now, I mean, I'm not going to exclude Marcus Bolden. I mean, I'm not going to exclude him. But let's just think about who North Carolina has coming in. I honestly think they can win the matchups versus Duke. Virginia is the team that I'm honestly worried about because although they lost DeAndre Hunter, but they're always been a hard-nosed defensive team. That's been Virginia's motto for years, decades. So that's honestly going to be the matchup I'm looking for this year. If they can get it done, I can see them in the Final Four.
Wow, okay. Yeah, so big aspirations. I think if Cole Anthony comes out and has a you know, a star freshman year and is a standout early on, I think this team goes as far as he can take them. The point guard position is always, you know, very crucial for North Carolina. The better the point guard plays, the better that team goes. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how North Carolina is able to compete. Like you said, Virginia defensively is always going to be stout, and you know they're always going to compete with the way that how well coached they are in the ACC. So it'll be interesting to see how the ACC shakes out this year. Now, let's get out of the ACC and talk a little bit about Cassius Stanley and Michigan State. A lot of people are rating Cassius Stanley as the best player in college basketball this year, as one of the returning players coming off of an excellent season last year. What do you think about Cassius Stanley? You think he can lead this Michigan State team, and is he the best player in college basketball this year?
I mean, based off of what we saw last year, why not pick him as the best player in basketball right now? We haven't seen anyone that can do what he can do on the court. I mean, he just proved that he's just an absolute baller. You know, I mean, we have other players in here, such as Devin Dotson from Kansas. He's a sophomore. We have other players like Jordan from Louisville. I mean, there's other players here, but they just haven't proved they have that it factor. We've seen it in the tournament where he can just flat out ball. That's what we're looking for. As of right now, he's my best player. But as the season goes on, you know, the tide can change. So we're going to figure out if he can withstand the weather, if he's going to weather the storm or not. So what do you think? Do you think Cassius Winston is the best player right now?
Yeah, I think he's the best player in college basketball.
What do you like about his game right now?
I love the pace that he plays at. He's not a guy that you can speed up or, you know, get out of his comfort zone. He's an excellent shooter from the perimeter, excellent passer. You know, he's a very controlled, cerebral point guard. As a former point guard myself, I love guys who play that way. So I'm a big Cassius Winston stan, fan. Sorry, but I do think Michigan State with Joshua Langford, and watch out for freshman Rocket Watts. He was a guy that played with LaMelo in high school this year, and can absolutely fill it up. So him and Cassius Winston in the backcourt, I think, can be lethal for Michigan State. And to me, with the way that they're coached, defense is always going to be key for them. I think Michigan State has what it takes to win a national championship this year, and Cassius Winston will be the reason that they do, if they do win a national championship.
Okay. I mean, I like it. I mean, I'm a believer. I mean, I see it. So, but like I said, it's going to be a long season. We're going to see if he can get it done, if he's going to be the best player when it's all said and done, when it's come draft time.
Absolutely. So let's talk about those Kentucky Wildcats now. John Calipari, we all know his recruiting strategy, his philosophy, and only four players who contributed at all last year are back for the Wildcats. Their leading returning scorer averaged just 7.7 points per game, but that's never been something that Calipari has relied on. He's always relied on the freshmen. Now, this year, he does have an Ashton Hagans, who's an elite defender at the point guard position, coming back for them. Emmanuel Quickly is going to be battling with Tyrese Maxey in that backcourt for that starting five. Do you think Maxey and the other freshmen for Kentucky can give them a level of success that we've seen Kentucky basketball and Kentucky fans get used to over the years?
I mean, like you said, I mean, Kentucky relies heavily on their rookies. That's one thing that was always a negative about me. That was definitely a big, and it was more of a con than a pro. But Tyrese Maxey, I mean, in the McDonald's All-American game when he was playing against Isaiah Stewart and then also Cole Anthony, I mean, he just flat out ball. I mean, of course, Cole Anthony and Isaiah, they had the field goal percentage over him, but he showed he has deep range. He can hit it from anywhere. That's what I'm looking for. Now, the big question is, can he add to the team in regards to perimeter defense? That's my big question mark right now. If he can play defense, I think Kentucky will be able to make a run. But as of right now, I'm not sold. Tyrese Maxey is just not enough. They just need more on the team. So I really believe they're just a couple pieces away from making some noise.
Okay. Now, the last thing we want to get into as far as our college basketball preview, let's talk a little bit about Duke basketball here. We can't talk about UNC and not talk about Duke. Another strong recruiting class from Coach K. He's kind of adopted the one-and-done era of basketball. But they get Trey Jones back, who's a solid defensive point guard. They also brought in Vernon Carey, their highest-ranked recruit, who's a force, an elite center down low, big physical presence. Then they also have Wendell Moore on the wing and Matthew Hurt as a stretch four in their lineup. They return guys like Alex O'Connell, Javon Delorier. What do you think about this Duke team? You think they're Final Four bound?
Final Four, like I said, man, as of right now, I don't even believe that they'll win the matchup against UNC right now. Now, we'll see how it folds during the season. But as of right now, I believe the main matchup that we're looking for is going to be UNC and Virginia. But as far as making the tournament, I think Duke will make it, but I feel like most people will be disappointed. I'm not necessarily sold on the roster. It's really talented, but it's just weird, you know? I don't feel like it's the right pieces. And then people will probably think when they hear me say this, it's just like, well, what is he talking about? But I just feel like, you know, this is probably the first time, but I will actually question Coach K. It's just like, well, this piece doesn't necessarily add up. So we'll see. I mean, when the season comes on, I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm just not necessarily sold on Duke right now.
I feel you. I like this Duke team. I thought Coach K, you know, they had the number two recruiting class in the country. Obviously, he did a great job recruiting, but I'm not 100% sold that Duke can win with freshmen. And when I say win, I mean win the big ones, like, you know, go make deep tournament runs, Final Four appearances. You know, I think this year, though, I think with Trey Jones coming back, I think, you know, if they can get Alex O'Connell and Javon Delorier to step it up a little bit as far as giving some leadership and giving a little bit more production, most likely off of the bench, then I think, you know, Duke, that'll definitely help Duke deep in tournament time. But I think the key for them is going to be Trey Jones offensively. He's a hound on the defensive end and was huge for them, spearheading their defense last year. But he was unable to knock down perimeter shots, and defenses were able to collapse on R.J. Barrett and Zion because they were able to, you know, help off of Trey Jones so much and force him to shoot. Is he going to come back and be, you know, a better offensive player, someone who they can rely on to knock down open shots, that can space the floor? And, you know, will he, without R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish and Zion there?
It's going to be a long season, so... Yeah, we'll see if, you know, I mean, what do you personally think about the matchups? I just personally don't think it could be UNC. I mean, I know UNC is your favorite. I know you don't want to be biased while we're on the podcast, but come on. What do you think?
I think when it comes to regular season, they're going to split. Duke will take one. Split. North Carolina will take one. Yeah, they'll play twice. So they normally split, you know, one takes one game, one takes the other. But ACC tournament time, I think North Carolina has more depth than Duke does, and more experience. And I think their ACC tournament and in the big dance, I think that's going to bode better for North Carolina than it will for you know, Duke's star-studded freshman class.
Okay. Now, bold move. This is actually one of our topics now. It's rough right now, but who would you pick in the Final Four? Final Four. I know it's too early, but you gotta give them some. Who would you pick in the Final Four?
Well, here's my way too early Final Four prediction. I'm definitely gonna go with Michigan State. They've got the combination of experience, defense, coaching, the best player in the country. And I think the Rocket Watts, the freshman that I spoke about earlier, gives them the boost that they need. So Michigan State's definitely in my Final Four. I'm gonna go ahead and be a homer and pick North Carolina in my Final Four. I just think Cole Anthony, Gareth Brooks, Armando Bacot, some of the graduate transfers that they brought in, and the depth that they're gonna have from all the players that they returned from last year, is going to be enough to get them in there. I also think Kansas. Bill Self kind of had to redo this roster over the offseason. You know, they lost some guys. They had a disappointing season last year, but they got Devin Dotson, who's one of the premier point guards. Asabuki is a force down low for them. So I think the Jayhawks also make it into the Final Four. And I think I'm going to go ahead and go with Louisville in my Final Four as well. I think Louisville...
You picked three of my teams.
I'm going to have Louisville in there as well. I like what they're bringing to the table. They're going to be another tough team in the ACC that sneaks into the Final Four this year. So those are my picks. I got Michigan State, North Carolina, Kansas, and Louisville as my way too early Final Four pick. All right, so now we want to get into some of our topics that came from your questions on Twitter. So the first topic we're going to get into comes from at Jay Littell, who requested we talk about the WNBA Finals. Last night, the Mystics won their first ever title, led by the MVP of the league, Elena Deldon. Those of you may remember her from her time at Delaware, where she was a standout there. She's been excellent in the WNBA as well, obviously winning MVP this year. But what was really key for the Mystics in this series was Emma Mieseman, hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, who came off of the bench in this finals and actually ended up winning finals MVP. Just goes to show, you know, when you accept your role and you excel in it, it's not about who starts games or who finishes it. It's about doing what is required of your team. And I think her winning finals MVP should teach all young players out there, you know, you don't have to be the star. You don't have to be the person averaging 20 a game. If your team needs you to do something specific, do that specific thing to, you know, the best ability possible, and people will recognize you. And then we also want to give a shout out to Alyssa Thomas, a Harrisburg native, who was a standout for the Sun, unfortunately in a loss. She had 21, 12, and 6 in game 5, unfortunately in a losing effort. But we want to say shout out to the 717, shout out Alyssa Thomas. Big ups to her for at least, or for even making it that far. Hopefully she gets another shot at the title again next year. Anything you want to talk about there, James?
I mean, just want to elaborate on what you talked about. You can't say it's not all about getting 20 and then she gets 22 coming off the bench. I mean, you just can't say that. But, I mean, I understand what you're saying. You know, it's all about teamwork. It's all about playing your role. You know, it's a bond out there, you know. I mean, the young kids coming up, just play ball, love the game, you know, get it done. And then, you know, it's not all about scoring the points. I mean, people are going to see that you're willing to play defense, effort, et cetera. And, you know, you never know if you get a scholarship to play ball. I mean, it's bigger than this. It's bigger than the attention. So, I mean, I like that definitely hit home for me, and definitely appreciate what you said there. That was definitely one of the things that I picked up in regards to the Mystics win in game 5.
Yeah, man. And, you know, another thing I want to touch on is not only did Mieseman come off the bench and win finals MVP, for NBA fans, Andre Iguodala, you know, just won finals MVP a couple of years ago. And you know, whether you think it was deserved or not, like I mentioned, if you excel in your role, people will notice. And Andre Iguodala was a guy who was an all-star in Philly. And even though they weren't great, he was the best player on the Sixers at one point. Went to other teams and wasn't quite the best player, but he knows what made him good. He was a defensive guy. He knocked down big shots when his team needed him. He was a leader. So, you know, as long as you find your niche, find what works for you, young players, stick to it and excel in it. The next topic we want to get to is also came from Jay Littell on Twitter. Something we actually discussed briefly in our first show. And James, you had the Hawks in the playoffs. I believe you had them sneaking in the 8th seed in your Eastern Conference standings. I did not. So, can the Hawks make the playoffs?
I mean, like I said before, I mean, I think Trae Young is just going to space the floor. Now, we're going to see what we're going to get out of DeAndre Hunter. I believe he may be able to give the team a little spark. A little help that was desperately needed. I mean, Collins just can't do everything. And then also we have Alex. I forgot his name. It's Alex. He came from where? What's his name? I can't think. You know what I'm talking about? Center.
Alex Len. Yeah.
Alex Len. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought he would be a magnificent post player, but I mean, he's not living up to the hype that I thought or imagined for him. So as of right now, it's a big guessing game. I have them in it just because I know what Trae Young's going to bring to the court. Of course, he's lagging on defense, but you know, we're coming into a faster pace. Everyone is kind of moving in towards that direction. I believe the Hawks can get it done. But it's a long season. It's a big if for me, but it's a bold prediction on my end.
Yeah, I mean, if we really break down the question, the word is can. Can the Hawks make the playoffs? Absolutely. They have a nice young core, obviously led by Trae Young. Also, John Collins, very excellent young player for them. I think Cam Reddish is going to flourish with the Hawks as well. Like you mentioned, DeAndre Hunter, great two-way player, young player. So can they? Absolutely. Especially in the bottom of the Eastern Conference isn't super tough. So, you know, they'll go as far as that young nucleus can take them. I did not have them in my top eight, but I obviously wouldn't be surprised if they snuck into, you know, one of the bottom spots in the playoffs. So,
and then one of the biggest knocks with Reddish is that games, he would just disappear, and in some games he would just hit his threes and play defense. I mean, I've seen him play defense. Like, sometimes he's not in the right position, but the dude can play defense. I really feel like he has the athleticism to play defense in the NBA. I believe it's going to be a good piece for them. I believe he will eventually become a starter. As of right now, I don't think he's in the starting lineup, but we'll see. I think that'd be a good piece for him. I think he's going to hit his threes. That's what Trae Young is going to need, some players to hit some threes.
Yeah, man. So I love what the Hawks are doing in Atlanta. I think they have a bright future ahead of them if they, you know, get some of those young guys to pan out. So they absolutely can. I think it might take. I think it takes a year or two for them to make the playoffs, and then. But I think the future is very bright in Atlanta. So the last topic we'll get into, and something that was very hot, a hot topic over the summer, is double teaming in pickup basketball, fair or foul?
I would honestly, in the NBA, I think it's a little different. I would say it's a foul in the NBA. Like, they're trying to work on their one-on-one game, their craft. Like, they know how to deal with double teams, and we all know that. Like, they deal with that 82 games out of the season.
Right
now, they're trying to work. Like, James Harden, he's working on his moves right now. You think he'd appreciate it being a double team? So, I don't know. I feel like it's a foul in the NBA. As far as, like, just today, just us. Like, no, I mean, I don't care. I mean, if you suck, you suck. Get off the court. Right. So, I mean, that's what it is. What do you think?
Well, for me personally, I see both sides. I see Devin Booker's frustration with it because, obviously, like you said, they're trying to work on individual moves in game settings, you know, one-on-one, things like that. But, you know, to me, pickup basketball should also be competitive. You know, because that's the only way that you can really not, you know, game competitive, but it should be very competitive because that's the only way you're going to push yourself. I think the value of pickup basketball is underrated. You learn so much about the game, you know, as far as different things like spacing, you know, how to get open, how to run pick and rolls, working on moves that you haven't been able to do against a live defender, you know, things like that. So, When it comes to double teaming and pickup, late in games, you're saving game point. I think it's fine. I personally wouldn't, if I'm guarding Devin Booker, I wouldn't want any kind of double team coming. Now, I've obviously never played with someone of that caliber when it comes to scoring. All right, but just
think about it this way. Like, you're playing defense, you don't want help.
Exactly.
You want to learn how to slide in the right position, you know, you want to do that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I just see too many, you know, cons of double teaming rather than pros. I mean, of course, it's bringing a competitive nature back to pick up basketball, which I feel like has been gone since the early 2000s and the 90s. But, you know, I mean, I just believe that's where it's at right now.
Yeah, me personally as a defender, I take pride in trying to shut somebody down. You know, the worst thing to me to hear is, yo, let's switch, or, you know, send a double team at him. But again, I've never guarded someone who could score the ball like Devin Booker, so that's a different thing. But yeah, in my opinion, and Devin Booker made a solid point, you know, when he used to play pickup basketball with his dad used to throw him out there on the island, and it was either eat or be eaten. And I also, you know, feel that side of it. So I'm going to sit on a fence. I say do what you got to do to win in a pickup basketball game. But as a from a pride standpoint, as a defender, I wouldn't personally want the person I'm guarding to be double teamed, like off the catch. Don't do that. Let me handle. Let me get torch. Let me sink or swim. That's just me personally.
Okay, I understand.
So the last thing we want to get into is on Twitter. For those of you that follow us at the Rebound Pod. This week we hosted a little raffle. We're raffling off a $15 Subway gift card and a $10 Chick-fil-A card. Requirements, anybody who sent in a screenshot of them listening to the podcast was eligible to win, and you also had to be following us as well. So we want to give a shout out to our raffle winner at DevBino, who entered the contest. So we want to give a shout out to him. At DevBino, make sure you DM us so we can get your information. So send us a DM on Twitter. We'll get your information so we can get your gift card sent out to you right away. Before we sign off, James, you got any thoughts? Anything else to add to the people?
No, man. We're going to see how everybody responds. You know, please be interactive. You know, we're listening. Constructive criticism, you know, everything. And then just some more hot topics. That's what we need. Just feed us hot topics.
All right, well, you heard it here first. Thank you guys for turning in to episode 2 of The Rebound. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, we are now available on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcast, and more. So any platform other than Apple Podcasts right now, we're still waiting to hear back from. So go subscribe, follow us on Twitter. We will be raffling off. We'll be doing these kind of raffles pretty much every Friday show. We'll try to get, you know, different gift cards, prizes, sometimes even, you know, straight up cash prizes. So make sure you guys are tuning in, you know, to our Twitter page. And send, you know, weekly we'll be reaching out to you guys for that Topics of Twitter segment. So make sure you guys respond. Let us know what you want to hear on the show. And last but very not least, we want to send our thoughts and prayers out to Columbia High School head basketball coach and Nook Raiders director of boys basketball, Kerry Glover, a pillar in the community who was in a very bad car accident. So we want to send our thoughts and prayers and hoping for a speedy recovery for you, Coach Glover. Everybody, have a great night. Thank you guys again for tuning in to episode 2. And stay tuned. Tuesday, we'll be back with a new episode.